We're extremely heartened by the fact that the two leaders have agreed to meet face to face, and we hope this is the beginning of a change for South Sudan after five long, terrible months. The humanitarian perspectives are that the agreements certainly have addressed many of the high-level issues. The big challenge that we will face now is translating these high-level agreements into actual improvements on the ground for the operating conditions. We need to see the trucks moving quite freely. They're still being stopped and searched. We need to see the river open from the tip of the country down to Juba. And we need to look to our neighboring countries, Sudan and Ethiopia in particular, to increase the amount of assistance that we can move from those countries into South Sudan. The tragedy is there's been a terrible human cost to the last 5 months. We know that food security conditions are deteriorating, that over a million people have had to run away from their homes, that communities are now distrustful of each other, and all of that is going to take a long time to heal. So this agreement is maybe the first step in a very long journey, but a very important step.
In the agreement, it says that the unconditional access to humanitarian agencies to deliver service to the IDPs without any hindrance. How confident is that to you this time in terms of operation?
Well, we've been told this really from the beginning, and we have congratulated the president and have thanked Riek Machar as well for making those statements. The problem has been from the very first days is when we work with all of the people on the ground, the officers who are at the checkpoints, at the airports, the local county commissioners, that's really where the most of the barriers have been from a bureaucratic point of view. And unfortunately, in the last months, the bureaucratic impediments have been increasing. So it's very good to have this stated. We welcome every opportunity that it's stated in public, because we know so much of South Sudanese listen to their leaders over the radio, for example. So the more they can say this, the more it helps us.
On the expectation of the IDP's situation to return home, on your side as humanitarian actors, how can this help to build confidence with the people to return home?
I think that is very much up to the leaders to build that confidence, and this is the first step in the confidence-building process. But going home isn't something that you can do if you have nothing to go home to. And as you know, we're getting pretty well into the rainy season for the southern part of the country. The agriculture season for planting, the first season is past. And if people don't have the resources they need for a livelihood, then they will have to remain dependent on humanitarian assistance for quite a long time now.
Have you any plan of relief convoys to the IDPs in these days?
Absolutely. We have 800 metric tons of food assistance that we would like to move from Juba up to Malut, particularly for the refugees. The refugees in Maban, for example, have only had 5 days of food every month for the last 3 months. So they're suffering terribly in the refugee camp. And so that is a barge that we would like to see move immediately. Trucks moving all over the country now, and the air operations are going on at a rate of about, for example, WFP is assisting 100,000 people over the next 10 days with airdrop. We're working to provide livelihood support all up and down the river.
Reports are saying that there is violation by both sides in Bentiu areas and Rob Corner. How will it affect the humanitarian delivery of food aid to the IDPs?
Well, in the Bentiu POC, there is a need to have a distribution. Before the crisis in Bentiu intensified again last week, we as a humanitarian community were more focused on making sure there was health supplies and water, because you have so much terrible overcrowding. That's the way we need to prevent people from suffering too much and even dying. But of course, the fighting in Bentiu maybe is related to my earlier point, is that we have the high-level commitments, which are so welcome, but it takes a lot of effort to translate that all the way down onto the ground. And we call on the leaders to continue to try and get the messages out to every corner of South Sudan about the agreement so that the country can move forward again.